This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We got a Cowboys autopsy to go over here today. Cowboys got their butts kicked on Thanksgiving, and now that's three in a row. They've been outscored 92-22 over pretty the good. Last three games.
Pretty good.
In 11 days, they've scored fewer than 10 points in three straight games for the first time in franchise history. This is another one I saw. In the last three games, they've been outscored 72-6 in the second half.
It's not bad if you're winning by a gigantic margin in the first half.
And man,
you're up 30 in the first half, that's not as bad.
It's like, it's a confusing thing, man, because, the blame thrower, everything can catch on fire. And there might be some of this worth keeping. I don't know exactly what it is.
Mm-hmm.
I've been all about wanting to get rid of Garrett. He's in charge of mindset. He's in charge of motivation. Don't know that he's necessarily connecting with these guys with his Bruce Springsteen stories, and he's not a good game manager, as we pointed out for years. So
you see quit on the field?
Yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, in other words, I'm not disagreeing with what you're saying, Ben, but I'm like, if we're going to try to figure out a way to evaluate Garrett's performance and stuff, to me, I'd like to remind everybody, Wade Phillips got a big, gigantic extension, and Jerry was saying, we're not going to fire Wade all the way up until they fired him.
Mm-hmm.
So, which I think I want everybody to tuck that away when we listen to Jerry a little bit later in the show. But I felt like the last couple weeks when I've watched the games and it starts to spiral out of control, I see a team that's given up. And I know that's easy to do from my chair full of turkey, and I've been drinking wine since noon. I get it. It's easy for me to call that out. I'm not the one out there trying to hit people. But I feel like when a wide receiver weaves in and out of the secondary while high-stepping and just putting on a show, and guys are just kind of half-assed trying to tackle him, I feel like, okay, that looks like quit to me.
They might have thought it was a touch game. They didn't know it was tackle. You got to say, is this tackle or touch? One hand or two-hand touch?
Isn't that how we, if the coach is not schematic guy, if the coach is keep everybody engaged, then I feel like we're seeing widespread disengagement. Okay. And I'd also like to say, in the lifespan of an NFL coach, Garrett's been here an awful long time to not lead a team to a conference championship game.
Right.
It's 7 years. Is that right? Do I have this right? I believe we're on 7 years of him being the head coach. So what is the greatest thing to show for that?
Well, I feel like Romo, basically all of his greatest accomplishments are because Romo did something great with a bad roster around him. And then Garrett ran him off.
I'm not going to say I disagree with that.
But I hear what you're saying. I do think they're quitting, and I do think Garrett should be culpable for that. However, I think it's a lot easier to quit when you have no clue schematically. And
if you don't believe in what's happening.
Well, it just seems like, Garrett's not in charge of the schemes, and the schemes are broken as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess I don't want to stop at Garrett. I mean, I look at Linehan. Linehan is too predictable.
Mm-hmm.
And I was talking to somebody about this, somebody very familiar with Linehan, and they were like, look, he's trying to piece together two offenses. He's a single back shotgun run guy. That's how he likes to run the ball. But this is Garrett and Pollock's zone run scheme. So he's taking his pass scheme and trying to tie it in with their run scheme.
And wasn't that Callahan's scheme before him?
Awkward and trying to not comfortable with it, which is why he goes to an empty, backfield a lot of times,
mm-hmm.
just because that's where he's more comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just kind of an awkward, I'm not sure. It's too predictable and it's a problem. And they're not utilizing Dez, or Dez isn't getting up. Hell, I don't know.
Okay, so then let me ask you this. Just think of other head coaches. So isn't it Garrett's job to recognize that and change it?
Yeah, I guess the last step for Garrett could be...
This is Garrett's guy, by the way.
Right.
This is who Garrett handpicked. Jerry wanted Callahan to run the plays.
Right.
So he did it for a year, and that caused a problem. So then they said, okay, Garrett, who do you want to call your plays? So he picked Linehan because he had worked with Linehan. So that's where we are. This is his guy.
He might have to step in and say, I'm taking over play calling to save my job. He might have to.
That's fair. I think he's proven he's not a play caller.
I agree with you. So I guess my point is, this this offense is broken and Linehan's not coming up with any solutions.
Mm-hmm.
The defense is also broken.
Mm-hmm.
Rod Marinelli's 68. His whole thing is he relies on hustle.
Mm-hmm.
Guy's got to hustle.
Mm-hmm.
I
think he'd be a great defensive line coach.
Yeah.
Which is what he is.
Sure.
I mean, he's been a defense. Don't get me wrong. Within his pedigree, he's been a great defensive coordinator too. But if the strength of him right now is more getting players to perform as opposed to game planning, then if he would stay on as defensive line coach, I would absolutely love that because I think he was a great defensive line coach. He took over from Monty Kiffin, who was past his prime.
Mm-hmm.
So then they elevated Rod. But that's what the job that Rod had, and he was great with that. And if he would stay on and do that, that would be great. But I'm with you. When you are undermanned, I think you gamble.
Right.
And we don't see much of that.
And so, and then it comes down to, okay, well, Garrett's not doing a good job. They're quitting on Garrett. Linehan's not doing a good job. The offense is broken. Marinelli's not doing a good job. His defensive scheme is broken. So then it's like, okay, well, maybe the coaches don't have enough talent. Let's evaluate that, too. Let's put the front office under the microscope.
Okay.
I feel like these drafts have been really good. And when they miss, they're typically missing on a first or a second round pick. You know, they're going to miss on Taco or Randy Gregory or something like that. But they're mm-hmm. not going to – they're doing really well.
Mm-hmm.
I think
they're doing well in later rounds too.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, exactly. That's the point.
Anthony Brown has come back to earth. And now, you know, I look at it and I go, so yesterday when Jordan Lewis fell down, that's tough that happens. But when he fell down, it jumped off the screen how little he was. I was like, that's a little cornerback. He's always going to be a little cornerback. And now I've lost confidence in Anthony Brown. I have no idea what Cheeto is. So I look at it and I go, and by the way, I mean, he's a friend. He's been on the show many times. Byron Jones has been a big disappointment this year.
Agreed.
He does things that I didn't think he was that are Byron Jones like.
I agree.
I'm seeing him weekly.
But I don't know if, so it comes down to, is Byron Jones talented or are they using him wrong?
I mean,
is he not talented?
He's talented.
Because it could be a schematic thing. I mean, you have to look at who you have and then utilize them to the best of their abilities, put them in a chance to succeed.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess what it comes down to is we have to assess blame. Is it all mindset? Are they quitting on Garrett? Is it all the schemes? Is it the coordinators have lost touch? Is it a lack of talent?
Okay.
Is it a lack of depth, which would then be on the front office?
Well,
no, it's probably a culmination of all those things, but which thing is most guilty because that's the thing that needs to get fixed? And I'll say, whoever was in the draft room screaming that they had to draft Taco, that guy shouldn't be allowed back in the building.
Okay, I mean, I think that's fair. I think that's, in the grand scheme of things, to me, that's very minor. Just because I don't know who the guy you draft there was that was going to change our defense. But one thing that I do know is this same group of guys were 13-3 last year, and the difference is that Sean Lee was healthy for every game. So I feel like you're almost telling me that Sean Lee is your defensive coordinator / best player / I mean, if everything comes down to whether or not Sean Lee is on the field or not, then that's a clear indication you don't have enough talent on the defensive side of the ball. And as we've done analysis of the way they've spent their money, that makes a whole hell of a lot of sense. They're not spending money on defense.
So it is a big deal to me missing on Taco, because you can't tell me that there was no one else in the entire draft outside of the first round that could have helped the Cowboys.
Maybe
there's
the guy
players throughout the draft that are helping teams. So
right.
That was a bad pick. But last year was about Zeke. And now we're seeing how important he is to this thing, because mm-hmm. Zeke keeps the defense off the field.
Right.
And Zeke makes the opposing defense focus on the run game, which helps out Dak Prescott. So Dak Prescott isn't in a situation where he's facing defenses that are geared up to stop him from executing passes. He's facing defenses that are biting hard on play action and helping him out,
mm-hmm.
and which brings it back, could be a quarterback issue too.
And Jerry talked about this earlier. When your best players are hurt, teams know that and they scheme you differently.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a problem. So the problem with trying to evaluate all this is you don't do it based on what's happening this year, just as you don't do it based on what's happening last year. You do it based on how this thing will evolve. And the question that Jerry has to ask himself as he looks at all this is, if I keep this in place, will all these guys feel undermanned? I'm talking about the players. Will they feel like they don't have a fighting chance? Will these guys go, wait, we've done it before. We were 13-3. Or will they go, man, this thing has run its course? Because you can sit here and when you do your checks and balances, this column of positives has last year. This column of negatives has a ton of stuff. But I think even if you look at the games this year, what Sean Lee has played or hasn't played, that seems to be a crazy indicator. I mean, the numbers for when he plays and when he doesn't play are absolutely absurd.
And to me, that, you know, it's a lot of that has been on Jalen. Jalen's terrible. Jalen shouldn't be out there. Jalen shouldn't be playing. There's a huge disparity between Sean Lee and his backup when it's Jalen.
Right.
You know, Hitchens was playing really well, and I'd be okay with Hitchens and Durant.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Jalen probably shouldn't be on the field very much.
Yeah, and even Durant, look, Durant was a guy that my sister was asking me yesterday as we were watching a game. She goes, who filled in for Sean Lee last year? I go, actually, he played in every game last year except for the one they made him sit. She goes, oh, what about 2 years ago? I go, I believe, if I remember correctly, it was Justin Durant, who at this point is on his last leg. Justin Durant is out there because he's one of the smartest guys on the field. But physically, you know, his body is starting to fail him.
Dude.
And so this is like, he's the backup from a couple years ago.
Sean Lee is 31.
Let's watch the Justin Durant plays.
He'll be 32 in July.
Sean Lee?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And being at camp, you know, we'll be out there at camp talking to him and stuff. And, you know, it's just, I remember his helmet was on the ground and he was leaning over to get his helmet. And he was like, oh, it's not quite as easy to pick that up as it used to be. You know, that type of deal. It happens to everybody. And then, especially when you're putting your body through what he's putting his body through, this whole thing can't come down to whether Sean Lee can play, because that's not a safe bet anymore.
No.
Hasn't been for a long time, and God bless him, but it can't come down to that. So you've either got to come up with more talent, so it's on the front office, or a better scheme, so it's on the coordinator. You know, but something is broken here, and it needs to be fixed, and it's broken on offense, and it's broken on defense, and it's broken with the mindset of this team.
I would bet on this, okay? I would bet that the Garrett message is feeling stale. That's what I would bet.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I really think he did an incredible coaching job last year, because every single person in the world thought that once Romo went down, the season was over. There's a lot of things that go into that, and there's a lot of people that take credit for that. But it's a real easy mindset for the veteran guys to give up when a rookie quarterback is going to take over their team that's a fourth-round pick. And he kept everybody dialed in. And remember, the Cowboys lost their first two games of the year.
Yeah.
But he kept everybody dialed in. Dak did a good job of bringing guys together.
Yep.
And I think Garrett should get a lot of credit for that. But, man, when you've been there a really long time, I don't know how many tricks he's got left. And I feel like it's, again, I don't want to be a jerk because I'm watching on television. I feel like I'm starting to watch quit.
Yeah. And he also, hey, as much as Garrett did right last year, he also mishandled the most important moment of his career, probably. And that was when Romo was healthy enough to come back. He should have put Romo in. He went with the hot hand, and I understand that thinking as well. But if you had gone back to Romo, say the Tampa game, or at some point you had gone back to Romo, you would have been able to say, all right, Romo either has it or he doesn't. If he doesn't, hey, you're going to watch Dak. If he does, great. Dak, watch Romo. And then you would have gone into this season with both guys. You wouldn't have had to have just one. You could have gone into the season with both guys. I don't think if Tony Romo's even healthy enough to be playing, he doesn't struggle with this the way Dak is.
No, there's no way he does. And he's a 15-year veteran or whatever. But, man, I wouldn't be so sure that Steven and those guys weren't telling Jason one of the decisions he needed to be making as well.
That's fair.
Because when you're putting a team together and you have a $1 million or a $500,000 guy that's leading you on a whatever it was, 8-game win streak, versus a guy that's going to be a $25 million cap hit, man, most of the number crunches are going to go, what are we doing? This is obvious.
But each person at the Star in their office gets to choose, and hell, the Joneses could do whatever they want, but they choose a player, and they have a big picture of that player in their office. Well, Stevens is of Tony Romo. Mm-hmm. That's his guy in his office.
Right.
And if it was Stevens saying, hey, we're getting rid of Romo, Garrett went dark. Garrett went dark and wasn't communicating with Tony. Mm-hmm. So, and they were friends, and that relationship's dead. So it's like, what happened there? Mm-hmm. You know, Garrett went dark on him, and I don't know. But hey, that's in the rearview mirror. That ship has sailed, and now let's figure out how to fix this, because you certainly don't think Romo's coming back. Like,
Oh my God, no.
They showed Romo during the game at Topgolf, and they're like, hey, Romo hit the clutch shot to win the match. They were playing at Topgolf, and the whole CBS crew is out there. And Jim Nantz goes, there it is, Tony Romo with the clutch golf shot, even with a bad back. Look at that. And there was quiet, and Romo goes, hey, my back's okay. I was like, wait, if your back's hurting you and you're not playing football anymore, then oh, yeah, that ship has sailed.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.